stages, 300 bands over a 5-day period spread out across this cornfield and seminars. And we would take him to that. So I'm like, you got lots of training. They say you got to hear something 7 times. I'm not sure how many times he's heard it now. Unfortunately, he's married now, and his wife is not Christian friendly, and so I just keep praying.
All right, well, you're going to have to listen in maybe another time to catch the rest of that Rhett interview. I know a lot of you listen in to that. That comes back on again today, this afternoon at 3 o'clock, and maybe that will be happening. This is Prayer and Share. The computer decided to fire up before 7 o'clock, so that's how that program got started a little early. So we are interrupting that because during Prayer and Share, we come to you as a team, and this happens 2 times a year, looking to raise the operational budget so that this ministry can continue to be strong and on the air. And so we are in the second week, and we are now into Thursday already, and it is 7 o'clock. Getting ready to be 7:01. So glad you're listening today. Keep your dial set right here at 89.9. We are going to have a mixture of programming and music today, as well as whoever God sends in, maybe you. Maybe you're going to call in. I don't know. Maybe you're going to send in a prayer report, quest or praise report online. But we look forward to seeing exactly what God has in mind for us today. Well, we are going to look into the Word of God as we do, and this is the weekend where we traditionally think about palms, think about Palm Sunday, and we're going to look at that passage this morning from the Word of God, and let's see where we're starting. We are going to be in John chapter 12, and we're going to start with verse 9. When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. Then the leading priest decided to kill Lazarus too, for it was because of him that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A huge crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hail to the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Israel. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." Well, this translation says, "Praise God," that the people were shouting, "Praise God." I grew up with the King James translation, and it says something like, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." Well, I still like Hosanna, but I don't have a thing wrong with saying, "Praise God." But in any case, as Jesus came into the city, there was tremendous celebration, tremendous praise. And if you remember what had happened, Lazarus had been raised from the dead, and so many people wanted to come and see exactly what was taking place with that. I was in a ghetto of sorts in Akron, Ohio. It was a night when Paul Collins had said to us as a group of guys, I was traveling with a college music group, a quartet group, and we were at Barberton Rescue Mission. And Paul Collins, our director that year, said, "Boys, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to show you something I don't want you ever to forget." Paul had worked as a part of the staff at the mission. He had, for a long season of time, been one who went into the city, went into the ghetto, went down to the railroad yard, and had drug dozens of men out of that place and taken them to a facility where they could have clean clothes, a clean bed, and have an opportunity to get clean themselves, both spiritually and physically. That night, Paul drove and pulled into this rather dark place, dimly lighted, and all I could see were railroad tracks as they spread out across a huge field. And he told how the trains would come. They would disconnect and reconnect and transfer cars and such forth in that yard, and how many times the alcoholics who were sleeping there under boxes or on boxes and under boxes had been found dead the next day, having been run over by the train. Paul had met many of the people that lived in that squalor. But that night, as we stepped out of the van and walked crossing railroad tracks, Paul wanted us to see something. We got to a certain place, and up above us were the circling interstates that crisscrossed several hundred feet above our head. Paul said, "I want you boys to look up, and I want you to take note of the billboard." Now, we had not been there for some time. I mean, Paul had not been there for some time, but he was absolutely sure that the billboard would be the same. And way up above us, seemed to be several hundred feet, there was this massive billboard with a lady dressed in the most gorgeous gown, big jewelry, and a bottle of some kind of whiskey or alcohol, I don't know which. And in that picture, there was a compelling invitation to seek the spirits of the world in the bottle. Paul said, "That's the way it is. So many people are betrayed by the glamour of the sign. They never get to the bottom of the sign to see the rest of the story. I'm going to show you the rest of the story." That night, we went from place to place. Paul was looking for people he had known. And we eventually found a gentleman who at one time was one of the chief electricians that wired that first rocket that went to the moon. Now he was living in a rundown car in a parking lot of a shopping center that had long been dead. And that man, as he spoke to us, he said, "Boys, whatever you do, don't ever take your first drink. I had everything, but I lost even more. My family, my job, my position, everything that mattered to me in life is gone. And now I live here in this car until they move me on and I receive my Social Security. And this is my life. I go from drunk to drunk binge." From there we went, and Paul was looking for another man that had been apparently at Barberton Rescue Mission maybe more than one time. He said, "We must find this man. This man was serving God. He was doing so well. But I hear he's back on the streets." Well, actually, he was not on the streets. He had, well, I would have called it slightly better than living on the streets. It was an old rundown second floor apartment that was attached to a number of buildings that seemed to be totally vacated. We made our way up the rickety steps to a high second floor in a community that looked like it had at one time been a prosperous factory. And this man opened the door, as Paul called. As we stepped in, he invited us in. There were cans of different types of food that had been opened and thrown in the floor. There was trash everywhere. A lady was in the room as well. This man was nothing more than skin and bones, and he looked at us and looked at Paul. They chatted for a moment, and Paul said to him, "Why are you here? What happened? You were doing so well." He said, "I took another drink." And there he was in that place. Paul said, "How is your relationship with the Lord?" He said, "I don't know. I think I need to come back to God tonight." That night we prayed with that man. I'll never forget the smell. I'll never forget the scene. But I'll never forget that man saying, "Boys, do you know that song about love? It's something about love that lifts. Something about lifted me." And said, "Are you talking about the song that's called Love Lifted Me?" He said, "Yes, that's the song." He said, boys, could you just sing that song? Could you sing that song? Do you think God will take me back? Do you think the love of God is big enough and great enough and strong enough to one more time bring me back to God and set me free? And we said, yes, it is. And we didn't know all the words, but the song he was looking for is indeed Love Lifted Me. Some of you may remember this song. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. When we kind of struggled our way through the words of the verse, which we didn't know totally, and we got to the chorus, which simply says, Love lifted me. This man whose skinny bone visible arms were hanging from his side, rose above his head. Every time we would say, Love lifted me, his hands would come up way above his head as if he was reaching for the stars. And every time they would drop back down, Love lifted me, Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, Love lifted me. We finished singing that song as best we could, and he said, Do you think God really will lift me up again? We prayed with that man. He cried and wept, and he had some words of praise, and he was so thrilled. I'll never forget that night being with a man who was very close to the end of his life, who remembered the love of God. And he knew that the love of God was not based upon his performance, was not based upon his address, was not based upon his wealth, but was totally based upon God's choice to love a wretch like him. I trust that man. One day I will see in glory. We had a great evening praying that night. I left that night and have remembered just how fickle people can be, and sometimes even I myself have been. Just as on that day, as the crowds were marching with Jesus, laying down their garments on the street, waving the palm branches and shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. Perhaps some of those very individuals in the crowd just hours later would be crying, Crucify him, crucify him. And yet I look at my own life and I think how easy it would be to judge others that have somehow lost their way. And yet I can think of times when my foot has slipped a bit as well. This resurrection season, as we're preparing our hearts for this day, I would encourage you to let the Holy Spirit check your heart. Do you need a fresh lifting? I want you to know that the love of God is abundant, amazing, and available. If you find yourself this day searching for a new beginning or searching for a higher place, maybe a place of freedom, maybe a place of deliverance, maybe a place of new beginning. If that is your desire today, as we here at WCNO are coming together in this day of prayer and share, I want to encourage you to know that the love that lifted you before, or maybe never before, the love of God that brought the Son of God to earth is available to lift you up today. Most gracious Father, I thank you for the love of God. And we've been talking about it all week, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, there are many today that need to be lifted. Some might be pastors, maybe a pastor's wife, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe